It's time for Toronto's Top Line.
If I won that cup in Detroit, I would have tried to sign a contract somewhere else and then mailed it in the rest of my career. I would have been a Florida Panther, 3-year deal, and bye-bye.
So what'd you do after you lost the cup?
I basically did that anyway.
This is Overdrive with Hayes, Noodles, and the O-Dog on TSN 1050.
Are we heading down this path again?
This might be our new theme song. I don't know how.
This was the most predictable opening in Overdrive history.
Do you think so?
I say we play this song every single time coming into every segment today.
Really?
I'm in. I'm on board.
I want the sounds of silence, though. Like,
dude, I'm even on board with letting it play out. Like if it's got to go down a little bit, but you run it out.
Stretch it out. See, that picture of you and I is brilliant, but I want a little duet in there. Like the sounds of silence.
Hello, you want to mix in a different type of song every once in a while.
But the same. Simon and Garfunkel, but
what the hell is this? Like, when are they going to start singing? I don't think this is the right version.
Well, it's the instrumental.
What happened, Mullen? Like, play. You got to play the real track, man.
Turn it off and get the real song.
All right. He's building Jerry, so I guess someone else was in there.
Exactly.
But
it didn't go well.
Like, it doesn't have the same feel unless you actually hear the words.
Well, if you guys want to sing the words.
There we go. All right. Was that actually legitimately like a minute and a half opening without any words? Anyway, you can call me out. You can call us whatever you want. I am burning up today, man. I'm in here. I went golfing again today.
You look like a trasher. You're gross. You got a farmer's tan, a golf glove tan, and you're just fried.
Do you remember the movie Summer Rental with John Candy when he fell asleep on the beach?
That's basically me.
You have the tomato arms, not the face. You've got the cheeks a little bit. You're lucky you're wearing a hat.
I was wearing a hat today, and I wasn't intending on wearing a hat coming in here, but I'm like, I got to hold on to the hat because my face is starting to boil over, too.
You're going to have zero energy at 5:15.
Dude, I'm actually heating up. Like, I'm starting to freak out a little bit.
Because it's 1,000 degrees in here.
It doesn't help that it's really hot in studio, but this is the worst burn ever. This is, generally, I'm pretty good with getting the lotion on.
Right.
Right? You put the lotion on your skin. Or you get the hose again. So Buffalo Bill taught me well. Usually I'm very on top of that kind of stuff.
Right.
And I don't want any problems later in life. You know, you don't want to deal with any of that kind of stuff. You got to be careful. But for whatever reason, this morning I got out there playing, and it wasn't that warm. So it was deceptive sun. It was like 13, 14 degrees, and we're in a cart, and it's breezy, so I'm not even thinking about overheating or burning up.
Right.
I'm just a dummy. I didn't put any spray on. I didn't put any lotion on. And I am paying the price. We will tweet this out.
You went back-to-back days golfing, too.
Well, I went on Monday. So Monday, Wednesday. And I was feeling it today. I played okay. But I have the worst burn and the worst, whatever you want to call this, I've ever seen.
Farmer tan. That's what it is. It's a farmer tan. That's called a farmer tan out west.
With the golf glove hand.
Awful.
How did you hit him?
I played okay.
Yeah?
Score?
That was scramble. So, I don't know. We ended up 4 or 5 under.
Any grenades?
Yeah.
No. You remember the grenade?
Oh, throwing the ball if you wanted to?
That Dreger, he can just kiss my ass for that golf
tournament. That was the worst golf tournament. Dog track.
Yeah.
Weird gimmicks allowed.
7-iron on a par 4. First for me. Remember that one goofy hole that was a dog leg left?
Yeah.
I ripped a 7-iron over the trees, and it was behind the green.
Yeah. It was such a stupid course.
It was a war zone, too. There was golf balls flying everywhere.
Really?
The most dangerous course on earth.
Next time I play there, I'm wearing my CCM NHL helmet.
It was like standing in the middle of a golf range. Like, you were just asking to get hit.
Really?
God.
And we were playing behind 4 chops, which it can really put you in a bad place because tournaments are busy anyway.
Yeah.
I knew we were in tough because on the second hole, we drive up to the tee box and these guys are still there. Meanwhile, the group ahead of them were like off the green.
Yeah, so they're...
This guy took a 6-inch divot on a practice swing. He was chopping it all over the course. And the best thing about chops is they always have an explanation.
Yeah.
I kept hearing him saying, my foot moved. Yeah. My knee. As if he stayed steady.
The best thing about chops is they practice 4 brutal swings, and then they execute the Bruce swing.
That's right. Bad golfers take more practice swings than
and
anyone
it's like,
on
why
earth.
Are you practicing that garbage?
Who has the
just
worst
go up to the ball and try to hit it, because that practice swing, it's as horrendous as the actual swing.
It's so,
so don't
true.
Do it.
Who has
it's
the
so
worst
true.
Swing on the tour? Like, who's known as mechanically one of the worst swings on the tour? Like,
well, Jim Furyk has the most, like, the strangest.
The most unique one.
Yeah, but it works for him. So no one on tour. Like,
no, I know,
tour,
but there's, you know what I mean? Like, there's players where, I'll bring it back to hockey, great player can't skate. Not a great skater.
Right.
You know, like, to me, there's golf guys or golf players where maybe the guy's not great off the tee, but boy, he's got a great short game or he's good on the green.
There's like, not a lot of guys out there that have a swing that you'd look at it and say,
no.
I just think
Bubba
of Charles Barkley.
Is kind of unorthodox, and you're like, how does he even do that? That goes against every fundamental that's ever taught in the game. He's jumping off, his feet leave the ground. It's bizarre, and he crushes it.
I guess sometimes you can see guys who develop like the yips when they're putting.
Right.
Like, remember Ernie Els at the Masters a couple years ago? Like, if a guy's in a bad spot, and you're like, that was a bad roll. Like, he's got a 10-footer. These guys should be money. And you could see it coming off the club head that this guy is out of sorts, man.
If you want to see them, you talk about the Masters and the putt. If you ever want to see them, if you ever want to see the most horrific loss or missed putt, Scott Hoke had a putt to win the Masters, and he missed it, and it was the most horrific thing you've ever seen.
How far of the putt, though?
Like, I think it was a foot.
Come on.
YouTube. Scott Hoke loses the Masters.
Yeah.
And he just... I don't even know what it is. It's just... It's insane.
Scott Hoke.
I'm not sure I've seen that one. I'm sure I have, but... Are you guys getting kind of aggravated with this Phil Mickelson dance where he's not sure if he's going to play and he's waiting for a rain delay, and if there is a rain delay?
I thought he pulled a shoot.
He did not officially withdraw. Like,
you know what? I would kind of think if you're going to be sincere and you want to do it for your daughter, then just don't play in the golf tournament.
Yeah,
go and be at the graduation and cut the crap.
Exactly.
Because now it's your act. Now you're kind of sending a message to your kid where it's like, I don't really want to go, but if I can make it, I'll make it. There's the putt, Jamie.
Look. Is that Nick Faldo watching?
Yeah, that's Scott Hoke trying to make that putt.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah, I'm on the same page, though, when it comes to Mickelson. Like, either pull out of the tournament or play in the tournament.
Yeah,
not for anything else but your own kid.
Right, exactly.
If your own kid's sitting there saying, yeah, my dad's going to come, but he's only going to come if, well... That's
or he's hoping that it ends quickly. Essentially, what he's doing is he's in the front row saying, can we get going here?
Yeah, like, let's go. Like, walk
Mickelson,
across, let's go.
Yeah, let's take your picture. And then
probably
a selfie,
doing
and I'm
side
going.
Deals, too, saying, can you call my kid up first so she can do the wave, throw the cap up, and I can do the picture and the hug, and then I'm out.
So you're saying you want him all in or all out?
Right. Like, well, for the kid, not even the tournament.
Yeah.
More for the kid than that, right, than the tournament. But, like, it's the U.S. Open. I'm sure his family understands the significance of the tournament. And Phil's not a... spring chicken anymore. Like, he's probably got
47 years old.
Yeah, maybe a handful of years where he can still compete in these and have a true opportunity to win.
Right.
So I understand why he would want to take advantage, but either you're in or you're out. And a couple of the players, I think it was Jordan Spieth who was talking about this today, and we'll get into it more later in the afternoon, but how it's a really strange feeling around the U.S. Open because they've all been there all week, practice rounds. This is the first time, and Spieth is a young guy, but in a long time where neither Tiger Woods or Phil Mickelson are at the U.S. Open.
Right.
And those are two of the great American players of all time, certainly the two best American players of the past 20 years.
Right.
And they've kind of represented American golf, and you're at the U.S. Open, and neither guy's there.
Tiger's
going to rehab. Yeah, it sounds like that's going to happen. He's going to rehab, and...
And Phil's deciding if he's going to take in his daughter's graduation.
Crazy.
It's Tiger's situation is bad for the sport, period, because you've got somebody who's troubled. Phil's, this is one where it's just, it's weird.
Judging by that video of him in the cop shop, it's bad for him.
Yeah. It looks awful.
Him going to rehab, there's a couple reasons for it. One, his ex-wife is clearly like, tracking what's going on.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure she's thinking, do you think I'm going to give you the kids alone ever again? Like, no, we'll go back into court and we'll figure this out. And I believe there was a stipulation in the divorce agreement where if he gets into trouble again, he loses even more time, and he's got limited time with the kids to begin with.
Really?
But there's also an image control angle to it. You go to rehab, then you're trying to get on top of it, and you become more of a sympathetic figure, and it probably helps him move on in terms of him trying to get back on track, not only with his life and his personal life, but with his brand. And Tiger Woods, the brand, and what he represents, and the kind of money that he brings in for all these companies. And we'll see where Tiger goes from here. He's clearly not playing anytime soon. I can't imagine he's even going to play in next year's U.S. Open. Wow. Like 12 months down the road, I'm not sure we're sitting here in 12 months talking about Tiger Woods gearing up for his first U.S. Open in years.
I want to hear of the greatest comeback. Like, if he came back and actually won a tournament, would that be one of the better comebacks in history of sports?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Like, I know, like, on a different level, like Sidney Crosby coming back from concussions. Sidney Crosby 18 months ago when he had the slow start. Like, that was a pretty big climb from where people thought he was headed.
And but that wasn't, like, personal meltdown. That was concussions and
injury.
Yeah, this wasn't like self-destructive Sidney Crosby.
This is Johnny Manziel all of a sudden, like,
that's Sidney Crosby, man. He understands the deal. Like, I watched him during the parade today. Everyone else had beers. It was like by the book, go out and bring the cup to the fans, no beer.
Sign every
bottle
autograph.
Of water, sign an autograph.
Phil is a legend there. Hey, this guy's a legend.
Phil. Well,
First and foremost, the pick's coming out of this character.
It's amazing how far this hot dog story has gone. Like, it's a well-known story in Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
Like, Steve Simmons is a well-known figure in Pittsburgh because of the hot dog story from a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Like, that's why the hot dog pictures are all over the place.
They're everywhere.
Because of the Simmons piece.
People are getting tattoos with him riding a hot dog with the Stanley Cup over his head.
Right.
Have you not seen that?
I haven't seen an actual tattoo.
I've seen that, but somebody sent me one like last week. Said this is if Phil wins, this is what it'll look like. It's crazy, but he is a folk hero there.
Like, but you're right about Sid though. He really never messes up. Like he actually never messes
up.
He's
good on image control.
Even the first pitch last night at the Pirates game.
Did you bury that over
right down the pipe, man? Like, just he kind of took his time, stepped up. He was laughing a bit with the boys, and he's like, all right, let's go. Strike.
Yeah. Like, there was a pretty... That's why I believe him that he didn't throw the water bottle. Remember he said after the game, he's like, if I want to throw it, I know how to throw.
Yeah.
And he walked right up on the mound and buried it over. And Mitch Marner got it to the plate.
Did you see the jorts he was wearing last night?
Yeah, Is that a non-gi?
It was a non-gi.
That's a heavy... Non-gi.
Non-gi.
Like, you know how we all feel about Mitch Marner, man. Yes. I love this kid. I love the way he plays.
Your shorts? Non-gi.
You can't wear jorts in a situation like that. You just can't do it.
You think they planned it?
Rolled up? Non-gi.
Do you think, like, he knew about it in advance?
Oh, I bet she's known it for at least a month. They don't spring that on a guy. They don't call him at 3 in the afternoon and say, what are you doing at 7 to throw out the first pitch?
So he
strap
chose
on a pair
the jorts.
Of jorts.
He chose
dude,
the
they're
jorts.
Not jorts. They're cut off. That's the new thing. They're jean shorts.
They're jean shorts. They're literally jorts.
They're jean shorts, that were rolled up, yeah.
Why? Are you saying jorts actually have to be cut off jeans?
I'm saying I want a pair.
I could see you wearing a pair.
Why don't we wear a pair of Wranglers that we can cut up and we'll make jorts tomorrow?
We should cut up a pair of Wrangler jorts.
Because it's 1,000 degrees out.
All right, let's do that. We'll cut up a pair of Wrangler jorts. We'll all wear them tomorrow.
Yeah.
Because none of us can pull it off. Like Marner, I'm not sure
there's
if he pulled it off.
There's got to be a pair.
Right?
Are they still back there?
Yeah, I'm sure there's a couple pairs kicking around back here. We'll make some jorts and we'll wear them. Thing is Mitch Marner can pull it off because he's Mitch Marner.
Well, that's the truth. Mitch Marner can actually do whatever he wants.
Exactly.
Jorts right would not be my first decision. Jorts are just not anywhere in the wardrobe for me, ever. But Mitch Marner, Bill Nylander, Austin Matthews can get away with anything at any time.
Yeah,
like Nylander can wear a man romper.
I'll bet you he owns one.
I think he does.
Guaranteed back home, he's walking around because it's probably fashionable back there.
Dude, I can't even imagine if him and Austin Matthews, like the two of them, were hitting patios on the summertime in Toronto. Like,
they can't, though.
What kind of like, work would be put in? And just, but you're talking like the amount of noise throughout the city. Like, you wouldn't believe who was at this patio last night.
I'm talking about the damage.
Right. But also, like, word would leak, like, Matthews and Nylander put in a 12-hour shift at the Black Bull last night. Like, you wouldn't believe what these guys were doing.
Dude, they would need 15 minutes.
Well, of course, but...
Yeah, but what if they sat there from... What if they put in a Richard Matvichuk shift the night before the playoffs playing us, where him and Hatcher sat...
Wasn't that out of Hooters?
Hooters. From 1 p.m. till close...
There's a Hooters down on Adelaide, I think. Yeah, it's either Richmond or Adelaide. It's right on the corner there.
Right on the corner. John and
Adelaide or something.
Because there used to be the Adelaide Street Pub, and they knocked it down. That was such a great place to go.
I've never been a fan of Hooters. Like, the food is brutal.
You don't like the chicken wings there?
No, they're way too breaded.
I don't mind the breaded.
You like the heavily breaded Hooters finger, like chicken wings? They're brutal.
Let's be honest. It's not like I've eaten there 38 times.
Of course. And you know why you're going to Hooters.
I don't think I've taken a sober breath ever being in a Hooters. So we had a Hooters on a pub crawl one time where we stopped in. It was probably stop 8. And in Florida on Fort Lauderdale Beach, there's a Hooters that we used to post up at after games sometimes. And you have a few drinks, and so your chicken wings come or fries, chicken fingers.
Well, it's not cuisine. I mean, you're not going to get sushi or something. And let's be honest, no one is going there thinking about the food. It's a very American thing. I forgot to bring this up. When we were down in Austin on the Saturday, we went to see, because it's a big Longhorns town, right? So Texas was playing like Oklahoma State or something. Went to a place called Bikinis. And it's just girls walking around in bikinis. And you're ordering wings and beers, and like in the States, that's all it is. Like sports bars, it's just girls walking around in bikinis or Hooters gear or whatever, beers, wings, football, and move on with your life. Oh. Actually, that's another thing I didn't bring up. I was talking about playing with Bob Nevin on Monday.
Yeah.
And I was sharing a cart with Bob, and he was a Leaf for a long time, Ranger, King.
Yeah.
And he like such old school. Like, just comparing and contrasting Bob Nevin and his whole routine to that of Sidney Crosby, like we were just talking about.
Right.
So. He kept talking about how after practice, like in L.A. at the end of his career, there was a racetrack right around the corner. And he's like, almost all the time, they'd go in for practice, wrap up an hour of practice, and the boys would go down to the track.
Sit at the track.
Have a few beers. Bet on the ponies. Now you can athletes just don't do that anymore.
Well, nowadays it's nutrition right at the rink. So you get shakes, you get food, there's usually a chef. All I've heard about the Toronto Maple Leafs is this is a unreal setup as far as the food's brought in and guys are taken care of. So you're not leaving the rink going, "Where are we going for lunch?" You're leaving the rink saying, "Okay, I'm going to go home for a nap," or "I'm, you know, what's going on?" And what are we going to do? Are we going to go to a movie this afternoon? So, I don't know. I think it's just a different...
It's a different era. Because and you can get caught now doing
right near,
stuff.
Yeah, exactly. Right near the end of... In 04, when I was playing for Calgary, we would go to the Mongolia Grill or we'd go to Joey's and there'd be 10, 12 of us. Lunch, go home, go for dinner. Like, you were constantly as a group together. I don't see it now. I see there's little pockets. Plus, there's such a disparity in age now. Like a 32-year-old guy is not hanging out with an 18-year-old. They just don't have anything in common. So the
millennials, man, ruining everything.
Well, young guys coming into the league. We just talked about Mitch Marner's 19. He looked 12 years old throwing that ball out.
Do you think he'll ever get to a point where he looks matured?
Patrick Kane doesn't.
No, Kane's still, he's 27 now. He still looks pretty young.
I think Kane's
young.
Older than that, isn't he? I think he's 28 or 9.
He's in that age. Mid to late 20s.
Either way, he looks... With a little peach fuzz, he's got usually a little playoff beard if he's got that going.
But Marner looks even younger than Kane does.
Well,
Marner looks so young.
It would be interesting to see a side-by-side picture of Mitch Marner as a 19-year-old and Patrick Kane as a 19-year-old because you wouldn't tell the difference
Maybe not much of a difference.
Because they were peach fuzz and not developed. I mean, physically, Mitch doesn't need to put on 20 pounds of muscle, but he's going to have eventually that old man strength. Where he's going to win battles if he wants to. Like, Thurin Fleury was, what, 5'6"? But he'd go into the corner. You knew he was there.
He had some bite to his game, too.
He did.
He would be willing to stick and punch and all that kind of stuff.
You know what we got to get into is your, is it Ed Harris?
Yeah, Marco Estrada. Ever since we compared him to Ed Harris, or I compared him to Ed Harris.
Yeah.
This guy's game has fallen off a cliff.
I think you gave him the kiss of death.
I think I did, too. Like, it was about 2 weeks ago. He's had three starts since we compared him to Ed Vaseline Harris in Major League. And he has been a disaster. Last night, he gave up 12 hits and 3 1/3.
I know.
12 hits.
It was 6-0.
It was a clinic last night by the Rays. Like, it was as if they were actually, like, Estrada was throwing batting practice for them.
I know, it wasn't good.
Like, you didn't need umps or fielders.
I felt bad for him. Man, did he get roasted.
And listen, I like the way Gibbons handled it postgame. He said he's going out every fifth day, he'll get out of it, it's a long season. I still have faith in him. I mean, the reason why I was talking so highly about him, we were kind of joking around, but was that my point about comparing him to old man Ed Harris was he's reliable.
Yeah.
Like, at the time, I was saying the only people I trust are Marco Estrada and Marcus Stroman.
Yeah.
And now Estrada has been a mess the past few outings. And I think what needs to happen is Stroman needs to go to Estrada.
Right.
And they need to have this conversation.
What's that shit on your chest?
Crisco, Bardol, Vagisil. Any one of them will give you another 2 to 3 inches drop on your curveball. Of course, if the umps are watching me close, I just rub a little jalapeno inside my nose, get it running, and if I need to load the ball up a little, just wipe my nose.
You put snot on the ball?
I haven't got an arm like yours. I got to put anything on it I can find. Someday you will, too.
That needs to happen in the clubhouse. For sure.
I wouldn't be leaving that rum around this group.
For sure.
Estrada needs to pull out some Crisco or some Bardol.
Yeah.
It's a must because he is really having some issues.
And just like we predicted, starting to get some hockey news trickle in.
Yep. We'll get into that throughout the afternoon. Rays coming up. I believe Brian McCabe, who's got a new title down in Florida.
Yeah,
McCabe. Our buddy McCabe will join us at some point this afternoon. And yeah, news out of New York, news out of Montreal. And we're waiting for some news out of Toronto. But what if it all stays quiet? I mean, that is potentially going to happen here in Toronto. If that does end up happening, and in 2 or 3 weeks they haven't done anything, what will the reaction be in Toronto? We'll talk about that. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.
I can call you Betty, Betty, when you call me, you can call me out.
All day, baby. Paul Simon, all day.
I need a little Garfunkel in there.
Nah, man, I hate Garfunkel. Although you can pull that hair off, Noodle. Someone sent us a picture in.
Dude, you look like a mess in that picture.
Yeah, you do look.
You look like like if things ever hit the skids for you in your life, it's going to be you.
That's how it would look.
Mustache, long hair.
The skullet.
Bad hat, skullet.
I can pull that hair off.
It actually looks kind of like your hair. Like, that's the way your hair is supposed to look. You're supposed to be Garfunkel.
Really? I think the track list is outstanding.
Anyway, yeah, we'll read that later in the hour.
Yeah, we'll get it.
Or later in the afternoon. Someone tweeted in the Overdrive best of, or the greatest hits.
Sean Coors, I think his name was.
Yeah, so we'll give him some love. We'll get to that later in the afternoon. Ray's coming up in about half an hour. We might catch up with Davis Love the Third.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Davis Love 3. I always, like, wanted to be...
A third?
Yeah, I kind of like that. Like, the third.
You want to be Brian Hayes the Third?
There's something very dignified about that, don't you think?
I'll be Jamie McLennan the Third. Except we just... I've got a sign.
There's no one and two.
I'll do a JJ anytime. JJ Jr.? Yeah, no problem.
Well, if you're junior, though, can you be called the second?
J2?
Yeah, I guess you can do whatever you want. It's your own name.
Doesn't, like... George Foreman have like 8 sons named George or something like
every
that.
Every single one of his kids is named George Foreman.
How does he like?
Is that for real?
It is.
Look it up, man.
I'm serious. Like, I think he's got like 8.
How annoying would that be?
Be good if you're in trouble though. You could just say it wasn't me. It was George.
Yeah, but it's like the third, the seventh. So weird.
George Foreman.
Like, how vain is that?
That's the thing. Like, yeah, okay, that's a cool name. George Foreman's a cool name.
Yeah.
But name your first son George Foreman Jr.
I know.
Not every single one of them George Foreman.
I'm leaning towards Jamie Jr. We'll see how that goes.
I don't see it happening. I just don't see it happening.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I don't think it's going to happen.
I would do it. I would want my kid named after me.
Yeah?
Yeah.
JJ? Jeff Jr.?
I don't know if we're going to go JJ, but we'll just go Jamie Jr.
I don't mind a JJ. JJ Watt.
I don't either.
Yeah, JJ's fine. Nothing
Jamie
wrong with
Jr.
that.
Jamie Jr. Maybe I'm going to circle back.
All right, look into it, all right? In case you were wondering who is going to be joining the rest of the team on the DL today for the Blue Jays, Ezekiel Carrera, fractured foot, so he's out. Man, he's on the DL.
This is ridiculous.
It never stops. It never stops. And Steve Pierce, I guess he's on a rehab stint, and he like can't hit anything.
Really?
So he's trying to work his way back out of injury, but you're supposed to go down there and ultimately just feel better about your game, but I guess the Jays are kind of like, ugh. This guy can't hit anything, and he's in the minors right now.
That's the worst part about going to the minors. You're terrified that if you don't play well down there, they're like, dude, you're in the minors and getting lit up.
Yeah, that was my first thought. I went down for only one game, but I'm like, if I go down there and I don't play good there, this is game over. Chrysler plant. Not like, here I come.
Seriously, it's scary.
How do you not overthink it? How do you really trust anyone that you're only going down for a couple of games?
And if you have a return ticket, that's the only thing. Like, oh, yeah, you're flying back on Sunday. I went down one time, and it was like an open ticket. I was so rattled.
What do you mean, like, an open ticket? Like a one-way ticket?
Yeah, they're like sending you down. We're sending you down on Friday. You're coming back Sunday. I'm like, okay, what time's the return? They haven't booked it yet. I'm like, well, you're not coming back on Sunday then. You're not.
No, if it's a one-way, it's a pretty blatant message.
It's a blatant, like, you're going to get some work in.
We'll call you when we need you.
Yeah, terrible.
You're in the bullpen for a while.
It's terrible.
Speaking of which, Jason Grilley made his first appearance last night since giving up those four home runs in the same inning.
Yes.
And he came in for mop-up duty.
Well, you might as well get him back in. And
the grilled cheese, man, he's in some trouble.
It's burnt toast.
Yeah, it's a bit of a...
overcooked, I think. He could be in big trouble. Davis Love III in about 10 minutes.
Really?
We're looking forward
to it. That's a big get.
Big, big get. I can call you Betty. Betty, when you call me, you can call me out. A man walks. This is the best thing about George Foreman.
Yes.
So he's got all these kids, right? All these sons. He's got a ton of kids, but he's also got a daughter named Georgetta.
Come on.
Yeah, Georgetta Foreman.
Wow.
He's got George Jr., he's got George the Third, George the Fourth, George the Fifth, and George the Sixth.
There are six Georges.
Yeah, including himself. So he's got five boys, all named George, and then he's got a bunch of daughters, and one of them is Georgetta.
Did he stray away finally with the...
Yeah, Frida, Leola, Natalia, Isabel, Courtney.
How many kids does this guy have?
Mishi. This guy has been... He's in the... Yeah, Antonio Cromartie territory.
He's in the Cromartie?
He's the original Crow.
What did you say the other day?
Don't be shy for a pullout once in a while.
Well, not
no,
that.
It was... Don't stop filling the tank or something like that. Yeah. It was not an appropriate comment.
No.
You just said it.
I know. And right when I said it, whatever. Who cares? It's the least of our worries. We've said some ridiculous things on this show many
filling
times.
Filling tanks is the least
now,
of our worries.
Now, I will say this. 2 hours ago, Austin Matthews chirped Mitch Marner. Did you see that?
About jorts?
About the jorts. Yeah, I didn't see that.
I bet you Austin Matthews has five pairs of cutoff jeans.
He screams jorts.
I know, but the...
Like, he's getting close to, like, Russell Westbrook territory. He's going to show up at camp one day in, like, a garbage bag and consider it fashion.
No way. He's going to show up in a George Costanza velour tracksuit.
He could pull that off.
Absolutely.
Velour. I had one of those. I had, a velour jacket. It was the dumbest thing I've ever bought in my life.
Like, you bought it, what, recently?
Off
like
the
5
rack.
Years
no,
ago?
No, we're talking, like, 15 years ago. I thought it was so cool. I'll bet you if I spotted that today, I would just tear up.
I would wear it. I'd wear a tracksuit. Maybe Friday I'm going to wear a tracksuit. Like an Adidas old school, like Russian tracksuit.
Okay, go for it. Get the hat, the Kangol hat.
The Kangol hat.
Go with a Kangol hat and an Adidas red, loud jumpsuit.
Exactly.
Ray will join us in about half an hour. Jerry's coming up at 5:30. Brian McKay, Patrick Patterson on the show today. Saw that Vegas has placed odds on the Golden State Warriors winning the title next year, and they are the worst odds in pro sports history in terms of projecting the next champion. It's as if it's a layup. It's over already. But Davis Love III will help us tee up the U.S. Open. We're looking forward to it. We'll catch up with him next.
I can call you Betty. Betty, when you call me, you can call me out.
It's our new song, man. That's it.
That's three in a row now.
Yeah,
we're going to do it, man. We're really doing it. Here, we're going to get through every single segment playing this song to open things up.
Paul Simon, legend.
I'll bet you Davis Love III is a big Paul Simon fan.
I don't think so.
You don't think he'd be a fan? I'll bet you he's a fan of Paul Simon.
He probably likes Simon and Garfunkel.
Nah, he probably hates Garfunkel. I'll bet you he hates Garfunkel.
No way.
U.S. Open this weekend, and this golf guest is brought to you by your Ontario Subaru dealers. Test drive the superior performance of a Subaru today. We got a major winner here. Been in the Ryder Cup. It's an all-time great.
Yes.
This is a big get.
Legend.
And I'm guessing Paul Simon fan. Here's Davis Love III. Can you answer that for us, Davis? Are you a big Paul Simon fan?
I listen to Outlaw Country on XM radio, not 80s, so no.
Okay.
There you go.
All right. You got me.
I was and the NHL Network.
There you go.
Okay.
See?
So you're into the NHL too, huh?
What you guys don't know is I played hockey in Atlanta until I was 15. My dad moved us down to the beach at Sea Island, and I had to quit playing, or I probably would have been in the Stanley Cup rather than the U.S. Open.
Nice.
So your skills were that good.
I've always been a hockey fan for a long time. So.
Well, I think you picked the right profession. I mean,
I think I did too. I don't like getting hit. So
yeah, you don't have to worry about that.
I probably wouldn't have lasted long. The no check league is for me.
That's right. That's right. It's for all of us, believe me. This must be one of your cooler experiences. I mean, you've had the ability to play the U.S. Open many, many times, but you're going to be caddying for your son, Drew, who qualified for the U.S. Open. How cool will this experience be?
Well, it's already been unbelievable. He just got done with a practice round with Stuart Sink and Zach Johnson, which would be normal for him to play with Stuart Sink and Zach Johnson, but not in the U.S. Open practice round. You know, he's grown up with all these guys, and we have so many guys down at Sea Island that play on the tour. He's used to being around tour pros, and he played with Jordan Spieth, and he played a few holes with Jason Day and Ernie Els. So it's been an incredible week for him. But, you know, first week as a professional golfer, first major championship, just out of the University of Alabama, it's quite a start for him.
Davis, what do you make of the setup? There's been a lot of talk about, the fairways being mowed and cut and guys complaining in the videos and then the reaction. What do you think of the course setup and them doing that to the fescue?
Well, it's they're making some good adjustments. I've been here since Saturday. They've cut five or six holes. They've knocked the rough, the tall fescue back. The problem is in the United States or anywhere outside of Scotland and Ireland, when you try to emulate a link style course but you have sprinklers, it doesn't quite work. So we're watering a grass trying to make it look like the British Open, and sometimes it just gets a little bit out of control. So USGA is whacking it back in some spots, but the fairways are huge. I mean, they're really, really wide. There are no real water hazards on the golf course, so the penalty is going to, for a wild drive, is going to be deep grass rather than water or out of bounds. But there's some 30 to 80 yard wide fairways. So is it unfair? No. Is it challenging? Yes. The U.S. Open is a patience test, and already some guys are losing their patience a little bit early. But no, I think overall the guys really like the golf course.
With Davis Love III here on Overdrive ahead of the U.S. Open beginning tomorrow. That's what I love about the U.S. Open is how difficult it is. The conditions are always outrageous, and I think it humanizes these players, because a lot of times you see guys chopping it around, and you're like, I could do that, and this guy's on tour, like, trying to go, under par at the U.S. Open. But I get the sense...
To a certain degree, though, Brian, I don't like seeing it just being ridiculous where they...
But I don't mind that. It's unique. It's different. You know, like, as a viewer, how do you feel about it as a player, Davis?
There's a few U.S. Open venues that have gone maybe over the edge a little bit. Oakmont if somebody shoots five over in a PGA Tour event, whether it's the U.S. Open or what, any event, something's wrong. You know, it'd be like going to an NBA game and nobody dunked it. Something's wrong with the basket if they're not dunking it. If we're not making birdies, then it's a little bit unfair. But this golf course is definitely not unfair. If you hit the ball pretty solid and in some fairways, it gives you opportunities to make some birdies. I was talking to Jordan Spieth, and he goes, you know, there's actually a lot of holes out here you can birdie. Now, there's going to be some holes where you're going to have a tough time making par, but that's the U.S. Open. You know, every major championship has its own little bit of flavor. Obviously, the Masters is completely different than any other, but the U.S. Open is known for being a test of every part of your game, and mental is a big part of your game. And I told my son, Drew, I said, look, 100 of these 150 guys are going to beat themselves mentally. Nicholas always said that. That I knew that if I could be the most prepared and the most patient and the most committed, I was going to beat most of the guys just because they were going to get frustrated and nervous and impatient. And I think you see that in the videos and some comments. Well, if you're already complaining before it starts, you don't have a great attitude, and you just got to love the challenge. You got to love the whatever golf course they throw at you, because you're not going to get them to change it. And, you know, guys like Jordan Spieth and Jason Day and Zach Johnson, those guys are out there figuring out how to play it, and they're going to take what they get. But you're right. You're going to see some chopping out of the rough. There's no doubt.
With Davis Love III, another big story going into the weekend is whether or not Phil Mickelson will even make the tournament. He's at his daughter's graduation, and doesn't seem likely, but I'm sure you've been in this position before with your own kids. I mean, golf is it's not unlike other sports, but it really is. It's international, and you're constantly on the road, you're constantly on the move, but you know when the Masters is going to be, you know when the U.S. Open is going to be, PGA, British, etc. How difficult is it to juggle personal life with majors in particular?
Yeah, it's tough, you know, and Phil has always been a great dad and committed to his kids. You know, we're going to miss a lot of stuff no matter what, and he's basically saying, I'm not going to miss my daughter giving a speech at graduation. She's put so much into, she's a great student and a very talented artist, and this is a big deal for her. And my son graduated from high school. I was at the Colonial in Fort Worth, and he wasn't giving a speech, and you know, he would rather be playing golf, so it wasn't as big a deal to him. But you know, we all miss things. I missed a lot of golf tournaments for horse shows, and missed a lot of opportunities to play golf because I was doing stuff with my family. And you know, I could have played better, and I could have won more probably if I'd have focused more on myself rather than my family. But Phil's always been good at that. He's praying for rain tomorrow, and doesn't look like he's going to get it. So I know there's going to be one guy that's happy that gets his spot.
Well, there's no question about that. And again, you're going to be out there this weekend. We're chatting with Davis Love III. His son Drew is going to be playing at the U.S. Open, and you're going to be caddying.
That's a weird dynamic, you know. Have you guys discussed that at all? Like, just leave me alone, Dad, give me the club, or how's that going to work?
Well, we discussed it a lot going in. I caddied for him in the first round of the qualifying. And then, you know, when he made it through the second round, I said, look, if you want one of your buddies to caddy, I can just come around, walk around the practice rounds and help you get ready for the golf course and learn your way around. He said, no, I'd rather you caddy. I'll be more comfortable. And we've always had he's won several golf tournaments with me caddying for him. He's comfortable in the limelight, like standing beside me on the golf course. He's used to that. He's walked inside the ropes in majors. He's hit golf shots inside the ropes in major practice rounds. He's hung out with Fred Couples and, you know, the stars of the game. I mean, he knows Tiger Woods and he knows Ricky Fowler, and it's not that big a deal to him. So having his dad there is normal for him. All of a sudden a celebrity. And he said, look, I can't find a caddy that's played in 23 U.S. Opens. And he said, so I'd rather you do it and help me get through it. So he actually asked me to tee his ball up for him on the first hole tomorrow. So I might be too nervous for that. But I think once he gets off the first tee and gets going, I think he'll be fine. You know, obviously, he's going to be like everybody else. It's going to be challenging and tough golf course, and you're going to have to get some good breaks and play really well to stay around par. But I can't be any happier caddying for him. It's the best seat in the house, right? You're not outside the ropes. You can stand right there and watch and hopefully help.
A lot of different style between your game and his game, because he's a big guy, right? Isn't he 6'5"?
Yeah, he's 6'5". He's a lot like me at 23. He's really long, got a lot of power, hits all the clubs a long way, but he's got a really good short game as well, and he makes a lot of birdies. He makes a lot of, like his dad, he makes a lot of bogeys too, but he makes a lot of birdies. He's got a lot of firepower, and you know, I keep saying I know 50 kids that if you could get them out there on the tour, they would do really well, and it's just going to matter of seeing if he can get through Q school and, you know, get out on the web.com and then make it to the tour. But he definitely has a lot of potential and got a big game, big body and a big game, and well suited to this golf course. I can't think of a better golf course for him. Big fairways and long holes. But it also suits Jason Day and a lot of these tour players that hit it a long way. I was watching Brooks Koepka hit drivers yesterday. I'm thinking, man, I would like to have that driver on this golf course. So, you know, watch for the big hitters to do well. Obviously, Dustin Johnson's a big hitter. His wedge game's been getting better and better, and he's putting good. Really suited to him. I think the scrambling effect of a Masters is not really going to be as much an effect here. I think it's going to be more, if it's windy, the big power hitters, the good ball strikers are going to have an advantage.
Well, we can't wait to see how it all plays out, and I'm sure we can speak for you on that as well. Enjoy the experience. It should be a great one, and thanks so much for doing this today.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate it.
There's Davis Love III. Could have been in the NHL.
Yeah.
Could have gone all the way to the top, but decided, I'll go on tour anyway.
Yeah.
I'd say he probably made the right call.
He did make the right call.
That golf money, man, that golf lifestyle. It's a good spot to be in.
Exactly. Go from like great city to great city. It's pretty impressive.
We appreciate him doing that. Jerry's coming up at 5:30. Ray will join us as well. A lot of NHL news out there, so we'll get you up to date on that. Overdrive continues on the TSN Go app.